This is Tennessee State District 46 Representative Clark Boyd's legislative update for February 27, 2026. Greetings from the Capitol. I met with students from Lebanon High School Future Farmers of America, members of the TN Nonprofit Network, and the pharmacists during their day on the Hill. For those that have been keeping an eye on the proposed ICE detention center in Lebanon, because of your input, the proposed plans for the detention center have been stopped. U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn informed my staff and me that the Department of Homeland Security would not be coming to Lebanon and would instead be looking for a location elsewhere. The State House of Representatives paused all committees this week to focus on the state's budget, working with departments and agencies to understand priorities and how proposals will benefit all Tennesseans. 17 agencies appeared before the Finance, Ways and Means Committee, of which I am a member. The hearings are designed to ensure public funds are being spent wisely by promoting transparency, accountability, and oversight. For your benefit, most of the information in today's newsletter provides an overview of the proposed budgets from key departments I heard from this week. Continued education investments could boost student success. Leaders of the Tennessee Department of Education on Tuesday appeared before the Finance Committee to highlight recent student successes and to pitch additional opportunities to build on this progress. Commissioner Lizette Reynolds outlined several key improvements to Tennessee's educational landscape in recent years, including significant increases in per-pupil funding and starting an average teacher pay between 2020 and 2026. During that period, recurring state education funding increased by $2.3 billion, or 44%. At the same time, scores in English language arts and math for grades 3 to 8 also rose by 5.2% and 1.4%, respectively. These are the dollars targeting and ensuring that students have the opportunities and resources they need to be academically successful, Reynolds said. Tennessee students are steadily and consistently meeting high expectations. Reynolds shared that more than 98% of all funding appropriated by the General Assembly goes directly to districts, families, and education partners in communities across Tennessee. The DOE's budget request for fiscal year 2027 would benefit three main categories, including maintaining the legislature's continued priorities, supporting student access and infrastructure, and ensuring the department can efficiently operate as the stake grows. Budget requests include $170 million for the Tennessee Investment in Student Achievement Funding Formula, $5 million for summer learning camps and transportation, $2.6 million for paid parental leave, $484,500 for the school turnaround program to set all students on a path to success, $2.8 million for information technology operational funding, $210,000 for AI training. Finance and Administration seeks to make TN more efficient. The Tennessee Department of Finance and Administration outlined key priorities to advance its vision to help make the volunteer state the best managed in the nation. Gov. Bill Lee has proposed more than $81 million for the department's Office of Criminal Justice programs for crime intervention and prevention in Memphis, as well as anti-human trafficking initiatives across the state. A total of $80 million would go toward work-centered training, focused deterrence, and public safety initiatives in downtown Memphis. This strategic investment will support evidence-based programs, including community-based prevention initiatives, enhanced law enforcement coordination, and partnerships designed to address the root causes of violent crime, OCJP Director Jennifer Brinkman told committee members. This funding represents a focused effort to produce measurable reductions in crime while strengthening trust and collaboration between communities and the justice system. The OCJP will also use the proposed funding to administer hundreds of grants across Tennessee for domestic violence shelters, sexual assault programs, drug task forces, and data-driven policing strategies. As part of continued efforts to cut waste, the FNA department is eliminating 9 vacant positions and making additional spending reductions. This includes more than $4 million from the department's Strategic Technology Solutions budget, which will be accomplished by concentrating dollars in infrastructure, limiting recurring growth, avoiding future capital spikes, continuing to implement strong cybersecurity tools, and modernizing dated enterprise systems. Parks, natural resource management among budget requests. The Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation and the Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency detailed their budget requests for the upcoming fiscal year on Tuesday, highlighting the volunteer state's beauty and abundant natural resources. Additional state parks, capital projects, and water resource management are among the requests TDC placed before the committee. The volunteer state has 68 state parks, including 62 currently operating, with plans to create additional parks this year. The investments made in Tennessee state parks are fueling outdoor recreation, tourism, and local economic growth across the state, said TDEC Deputy Commissioner and Chief Operating Officer Karen Simo. Your investments in water and wastewater infrastructure are helping communities reinvest in themselves to modernize, expand capacity, and meet the demands of a growing population in Tennessee. The TDORA is requesting funds to continue supporting several vital programs and services, including fish stocking, shooting ranges, boating safety and education, boat ramps, and purchasing wetland habitats. It is asking for $2.5 million to offer sportsman licenses to Tennessee National Guardsmen at no cost to honor their service and sacrifice. Another key request is $100,000 for the Hunters for the Hungry program, which allows hunters to donate field-dressed deer to be processed, packaged, and distributed to hunger relief organizations to help feed food insecure Tennesseans. TBI, DHS discussed public safety priorities. The Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security and the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation updated lawmakers Thursday on priorities for fiscal year 2027 and answered questions about existing public safety initiatives. Homeland Security is requesting a $2.6 million increase for 34 additional staff positions at driver services centers to lower wait times for Tennesseans. It is also requesting nearly $18 million to add 50 trooper positions to help reach the department and Gov. Bill Lee's goal of 1,300 total troopers. Commissioner Jeff Long applauded the General Assembly for continually investing investing in new trooper positions, specifically for the Memphis area. Long said that, since additional troopers arrived in the city, shootings on the interstate system have significantly decreased. Our first deployment with major numbers of troopers was asked by the administration in Memphis and law enforcement in Memphis to assist them because of the number of shootings on Interstate 240 in Memphis, Long said. Since that time, we have had task forces there that have stopped the shooting. When we would pull out, it would begin back, and since the SAFE task force has started, that number is down close to zero. TBI Deputy Director Brad Nealon thanked lawmakers for investing in critical programs and positions that have dramatically reduced statewide laboratory inventory by two-thirds. He also outlined the efficacy of the Bureau's cybercrime unit, which has helped recover millions of dollars stolen from Tennesseans, as well as rapid DNA solutions to identify human remains, made possible through the legislature's recent investments. Initiatives would support Tennessee's agriculture industry. The Tennessee Department of Agriculture presented several budget requests to the Finance Committee to further strengthen farming and forestry in the volunteer state. Commissioner Andy Holt highlighted the department's record rural investments in recent years, including the Agricultural Enterprise Fund, with 36% of all projects awarded to distressed or at-risk counties. This program facilitates agricultural development and supports job creation and economic development across the state. Additionally, $25 million is aiding farmland preservation efforts, and more than $120 million has been invested in 34,954 produce projects between 2019 and 2024 through the Tennessee Agriculture Enhancement Program, which bolsters and creates new opportunities for agriculture. The TDA is requesting budget increases for consumer and industry services inspectors and CUL, which is a workforce reintegration model empowering people overcoming homelessness or incarceration with opportunities to grow food and gain critical life skills. More than $1.3 million has been requested for a wildfire resiliency team to better prepare the state's response and incident management processes to combat wildfires. The degree to which this issue had begun to impact Tennesseans can be quite shocking when you dig into it, Holt said. Right now, we're in the 90th percentile of risk for communities across the country relative to wildfire, and a lot of folks would say, I had no idea. The volunteer state's agriculture and forestry industries employ hundreds of thousands of Tennesseans and contribute more than $81 billion to the state's economy every year. Budget requests seek to boost job growth, help TN lead in tech. The Tennessee Department of Economic and Community Development Agency laid out its fiscal year 2027 priorities to the Finance, Ways and Means Committee, presenting the budget proposal as a series of strategic investments to sustain job growth, strengthen rural communities, and position the state for advanced technology leadership. ECD's presentation emphasized four priorities: workforce development, rural economic investment, infrastructure, and targeted industry incentives. Agency leadership framed the budget not as simple spending, but as capacity building to attract high-quality, long-term private investments across Tennessee. Key requests included $2.5 million to pilot biomanufacturing in Northeast Tennessee, $20 million to connect Chattanooga's public quantum network to Oak Ridge National Laboratory pending federal matching funds, $25 million to replenish the Nuclear Supply Chain Incentive Fund, and $20 million in non-recurring film incentives. The department has announced 680 projects and 108,000 new jobs since 2019, with approximately 44% of those jobs located in rural counties. This represents about $52 billion in cumulative capital investment, including more than $11 billion in 2025. DHS addresses SNAP cost share changes, summer nutrition. Federal policy changes and summer nutrition programs were center stage as Tennessee Department of Human Services Commissioner Clarence H. Carter and his team presented their budget proposals this week. A major focus of the presentation was the upcoming changes to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program administrative cost share under President Donald Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill. Beginning in fiscal year 2027, Tennessee will cover 75% of administrative costs, with the federal government paying 25%. Currently, that cost is split evenly between the state and federal government. As of January, DHS serves more than 600,000 Tennesseans through SNAP. Based on a review of the last 9 months, the department estimates the new cost share structure to cost the state approximately $58.3 million over the same time period. The OBB also increased accountability standards for states. Tennessee reported a 9.47% error rate in 2025 and needs to be below 6% to avoid sharing benefits costs, which are currently fully funded by the federal government. I will tell you, we are pushing a boulder up a hill, but we are working very diligently to do it, Carter said, of the department's efforts to improve payment accuracy and strengthen oversight. Participation data shows DHS has already reduced its SNAP caseloads by more than 43,000 and 100,000 individuals since November. Carter also highlighted efforts to ensure no child goes hungry this summer while schools are not in session. Last year, the department distributed $120 payments to students, families, and counties that were unserved or underserved by the traditional summer meal programs. DHS is requesting $3 million to maintain those direct payments and $5 million to support sponsors and community partners for non-federally reimbursable expenses. The commissioner also outlined roughly $5 million in budget reductions achieved through lowering administrative costs and negotiating contracts with their call center, while maintaining the same level of service to Tennessee families. Department of Labor hopes to strengthen state's talent pipeline. The Tennessee Department of Labor and Workforce Development presented its fiscal year 2027 budget to lawmakers on Wednesday, outlining workforce participation gains and expanded training programs aimed at strengthening the state's talent pipeline. Commissioner Denise Thomas reported unemployment at about 3.6%, with lower rates in 87 of 95 counties and labor force participation surpassing 60%. Key funding requests from the agency include included $705,000 to establish a Tennessee Works hub team as a single point of contact for employers. An additional $8 million non-recurring investment was also proposed, which would expand the youth employment program that has served more than 8,500 students. Department officials hope to connect students with employers earlier in the school year and prioritize high-demand career pathways. The department is also requesting $1.5 million in recurring funding to launch a subsidized re-entry employment model, gradually shifting wage responsibility from the state to employers, and initially serving about 150 to 200 participants with a targeted retention rate above 75%. More than $8 million in 10 care shared savings is being requested to continue rural health care apprenticeships, which are currently operating in 86 counties with about 1,600 participants. The TDLWD's planned budget reductions include purchasing efficiencies, IT savings, and minor contract adjustments. DCS working to improve foster system. The Tennessee Department of Children's Services joined the Finance Ways and Means Committee to outline the department's fiscal priorities and recent system improvements. Commissioner Margie Quinn highlighted encouraging trends within the state's foster care system, including a 5% reduction in the average number of children in state custody from 2022 to 2026. During that same period, the number of youth waiting in overnight transitional placements dropped from approximately 120 per night in 2022 to about 26 per night in 2026. Quinn attributed the progress to targeted prevention services, expanded community partnerships, and increased placement stability. One of the department's longest ongoing investments is a fully funded $433 million real estate plan to modernize juvenile justice and child welfare facilities. Four initial sites are expected to begin construction in 2026. In addition to capital improvements, the department highlighted key budget proposals for fiscal year 2027, including $36.8 million for the residential custodial budget and $34.5 million for private provider case management. These investments are about fewer children entering custody, shorter stays, safer placements, and stronger families, Quinn said. We are seeing measurable progress, and this budget protects that progress. Department hopes to expand mental health treatment support. In its budget presentation, the Tennessee Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services highlighted targeted investments aimed at expanding treatment access, recovery supports, and community-based care. Commissioner Marie Williams opened the presentation by reporting a more than 30% decline in overdose deaths and continued expansion of behavioral health services across rural communities. Project Rural Recovery now serves 20 counties, while a statewide criminal justice liaison program has connected more than 16,000 individuals in jails with services. School-based behavioral health liaisons currently support more than 23,000 children and families annually. Notable funding proposals included a $3 million recurring request from the K-12 Mental Health Trust Fund to add up to 43 behavioral health liaisons to schools across the state. A $5 million non-recurring proposal would expand supportive housing by 100 beds through the Creating Homes Initiative, three for individuals with mental illness or substance use disorders returning from incarceration. Additional proposals include $2.1 million for addiction recovery services, $3.8 million to sustain and expand rural mobile clinics to 30 counties, $1.7 million to complete the Behavioral Health Scholarship Workforce Pipeline, and $2 million from 10 Care Shared Savings to increase treatment capacity. The budget also includes $1 million for clinician supervision and workforce development, $5.1 million for gambling addiction services, $4 million for community mental health grants, and smaller recurring grants supporting prevention organizations. Agency officials reported an increase in demand for inpatient services following recent legal changes expanding access to treatment. State facilities are near capacity, with about 602 of 763 licensed beds currently operating in evaluation wait times averaging roughly 98 to 112 days. The department indicated that additional staffing and facility expansion would be needed to reduce wait times. House passes bill to limit liability for colleges, universities. The Tennessee House of Representatives this week passed legislation to reduce recidivism through rehabilitation-focused educational opportunities. House Bill 1772, sponsored by State Rep. Kevin Raper, R. Cleveland, makes higher education more accessible to Tennesseans who have served their sentences and are eager to rebuild their lives through education by removing legal ambiguity that discourages colleges from admitting qualified applicants with prior records. This bill signals that Tennesseans deserve an opportunity to rebuild their lives through education and serving their sentences, said Raper. Tennessee colleges and universities gain certainty knowing they are protected from lawsuits simply from students with criminal backgrounds. By clarifying liability, the bill removes incentives for blanket exclusion and encourages fair, case-by-case admissions decisions. Higher education institutions would remain accountable if they knowingly admit or retain students convicted of violent or sexual offenses. Ensuring campus safety remains the top priority. The liability protections do not apply to cases involving serious crimes such as murder, kidnapping, robbery, rape, or human trafficking. House Bill 1772 is expected to be considered by the Senate in the coming weeks. Dental program, rural healthcare focus of TDH budget hearing. Tennessee Department of Health Commissioner John Dunn and his team concluded the Finance, Ways and Means Committee's week of budget hearings by highlighting rising dental care access across the volunteer state and priorities for the upcoming year. Dunn emphasized the department's efforts to sustain momentum in dental care through the Healthy Smiles program, requesting $24.2 million to continue and expand pilot training and direct service initiatives. This has been a successful program in our estimation, and it's working because it combines workforce training and direct service delivery, Dunn said. He has expanded their dental class to 130 students and doubled their dental hygiene class to 48, and the training is showing up in patient care through six external student rotations. UT reported more than 10,000 procedures across fiscal years 2024 and 2025, according to Dunn. The department also outlined plans for the $1 billion Rural Health Transformation Plan funding to strengthen healthcare across Tennessee. Funding priorities include $382.8 million for rural health transformation, $238.7 million for maternal and child health, $194.7 million for technology infrastructure, $111.8 million to make rural Tennessee healthy again, $53.4 million for workforce development. TennCare emphasizes successes, outlines priorities. Leaders from the Division of TennCare join members of the Finance, Ways and Means Committee to highlight program successes, cost-saving efforts, and key proposals for the year. Deputy Commissioner and Director of TennCare, Stephen Smith, said the program is stronger than ever because of partnerships with the General Assembly and other state leaders. Recent accomplishments include serving an additional 25,000 children, pregnant women, and parents through the Strong Families Initiative and Year One Shared Savings. It has also enrolled nearly 5,000 children in the Katie Beckett Program, which helps families care for children under the age of 18 with disabilities or complex medical needs at home. Smith highlighted the General Assembly's $300 million investment in behavioral and rural health and $100 million in hurricane relief through the HEAL program. He also noted the department cut roughly $2.5 million through efforts to reduce waste, fraud, and abuse. Looking ahead, one of TennCare's top proposals is Pathway to Independence, a four-year pilot program designed to address benefit cliffs and encourage members to pursue higher-paying jobs. The initiative would provide up to $2,000 for 12 months to help members transition from TennCare coverage to private insurance. Members would be required to contribute toward their coverage, but it would not exceed $15 per month. We know that, through the work of our sister agency, that a large percentage of people that are experiencing benefits cliffs, they would take a better job if they had financial assistance to help them through the cliff, even if it meant losing their government benefits, Smith said. Smith emphasized that the pilot would not only ease the transition to employer-sponsored insurance, but also help TennCare recipients become familiar with the private market while promoting long-term financial independence. Disability and Aging highlights regional expansion. Tennessee Department of Disability and Aging Commissioner Brad Turner and members of his leadership team presented their fiscal year 2027 budget priorities to the Finance, Ways, and Means Committee this week. Over the past several years, grant funding appropriated by the General Assembly has supported thousands of Tennesseans through local partnerships and community-based services. Some of the largest investments include $10.4 million awarded to 527 recipients through the Senior Center Grant Program and $4.5 million for senior nutrition and food access at more than 150 sites across the state. The department also updated lawmakers on the construction of its three regional offices, all of which are expected to be completed in 2026. Briefly, juvenile detention capacity. The Tennessee Advisory Commission on Intergovernmental Affairs recently released a report detailing the availability of pre- and post-adjudication detention capacity across the volunteer state. The commission concluded that currently funded projects will likely meet the state's needs for post-adjudication capacity, following the General Assembly's appropriation of more than $333 million for three new facilities. The commission recommends funding a new juvenile detention center in West Tennessee to be used in part for temporary placements for juvenile offenders in DCS custody. Additionally, several oversight reforms are recommended to improve the Tennessee juvenile justice system. Paid leave for foster parents. Lawmakers on Monday approved pro-family legislation encouraging state employees to foster children. House Bill 957, sponsored by State Rep. William Slater, R. Gallatin, adds fostering a child as a qualifying event for a Tennessee state employee to receive 6 weeks of paid leave. Employees are currently entitled to this benefit for the birth or adoption of a child or the serious illness of a family member. The companion version of House Bill 937 is still advancing in the Senate. Consistency in Employment Laws State Rep. Chris Todd, R. Madison County, on Monday passed legislation to help ensure labor and employment laws are uniform across Tennessee. House Bill 900 restricts local governments from implementing burdensome regulations on private employers and protects businesses from compliance confusion caused by varying local mandates. The proposal is approved by the Senate in 2025 and now heads to Gov. Bill Lee's desk to be signed into law. Vehicular assault, House Bill 359, as amended, updates the definition of serious bodily injury specifically for the criminal offense of vehicular assault. Sponsored by House Majority Leader William Lamberth, R. Portland, the bill removes the age restriction from the criteria involving a broken bone, expanding it from applying only to children 12 years old or younger to any broken bone, regardless of the victim's age. The other elements of the definition remain unchanged. A substantial risk of death, protracted unconsciousness, extreme physical pain, or protracted loss, or substantial impairment of a function of a bodily member, organ, or mental faculty. Lamberth amended the bill following an injury accident involving a law enforcement officer in Sumner County on December 27. Hendersonville Police CPL Braxton Craig suffered serious injuries, including broken bones, when he was struck by a suspected drunk driver who hit his patrol car after crossing a double yellow line. House Bill 359 passed in the House and is still advancing through the Senate. Student fitness, legislation to promote student health and wellness in Tennessee schools, passed in the House chamber Thursday. House Bill 1466 by State Rep. Scott Sepicki, R. Kulioka, will require public schools in the volunteer state to administer the presidential fitness test to assess students' strength, endurance, and flexibility. The Tennessee Department Department of Education will provide guidance to local education agencies and public charter schools on the requirements associated with the test. Students can receive the Presidential Fitness Award if they meet the parameters set forth by the President's Council on Sports, Fitness, and Nutrition. The proposal is still advancing in the Senate. Economic Development. The Tennessee Department of Economic and Community Development this week announced Rectisol Group, a Belgian company specializing in insulation products, has selected the Volunteer State for its first insulated panels facility in the United States. The company offers insulation solutions through 13 facilities in six nations. It will create nearly 80 jobs and invest $50 million in Maury County to produce insulated panels for the U.S. market under the name Trimo North America. James K. Polk Day. The House on Monday passed legislation to designate November 2nd annually as James K. Polk Day to honor President Polk's service to Tennessee and the nation. House Bill 1479, sponsored by State Rep. Gino Bulso R. Brentwood, recognizes the 11th President's accomplishments and role in fulfilling the manifest destiny of the United States to be a beacon of liberty and freedom across North America. The companion version of House Bill 1479 is still advancing in the Senate. Capital Protection Zone. The House chamber passed House Bill 1504 on Thursday, designating a Capitol Hill Protection Zone to bolster safety measures for state government officials, employees, and the public. The bill, sponsored by House Majority Leader William Lamberth, R. Portland, designates a defined security area encompassing key state buildings and surrounding grounds in Nashville. The protection zone includes the state capitol, capitol annexes, War Memorial Building, Legislative Plaza, Cordell Hull Building, Supreme Court Building, State Library and Archives Building, John Sevier State Office Building, James K. Polk State Office Building, William R. Snodgrass Tennessee Tower, World War II Memorial Building, Rachel Jackson Building, Andrew Jackson Building, and adjacent grounds, roads, and sidewalks. The bill authorizes the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security Commissioner to assign post-certified state facility protection officers to the zone, granting them concurrent law enforcement authority with local agencies, including the power to arrest, carry firearms, and investigate crimes. Upper Cumberland Regional Airport. The House on Monday passed legislation to enable commercial air service at the Upper Cumberland Regional Airport. House Bill 1691, sponsored by State Rep. Paul Sherrill, R. Sparta, will restructure the airport as an independent airport authority, granting it expanded powers and flexibility needed to support commercial flights. The airport is currently governed under Tennessee's Interlocal Cooperation Act, which places its operations under multiple local governments. The companion version of House Bill 1691 will be considered on the Senate floor in the coming weeks. School bus drivers. The House on Monday passed legislation allowing school bus drivers with controlled diabetes to cross state lines in accordance with federal law. House Bill 1546, sponsored by State Rep. Jake Mackham and R. Franklin, will benefit several school districts in Tennessee where drivers are required to enter neighboring states. The bill is still advancing through the Senate. Public Schools, the Finance Ways and Means Subcommittee on March 4, will consider a measure to require public and charter schools to verify the lawful presence of enrolling students. House Bill 793, sponsored by House Majority Leader William Lamberth, R. Portland, sought to challenge Plyler v. Doe, a 5-4 U.S. Supreme Court ruling in 1982 that gave children who were illegally in the U.S. the right to a free public education. The Senate companion version passed in 2025, which gave local school districts the option to charge tuition. The House version was placed on hold last year to ensure Tennessee's $1.1 billion in federal education funding would not be put at risk. As amended, the House version only requires local school districts to submit an accurate headcount to the Tennessee Department of Education while protecting student privacy. The bill aims to provide greater transparency on the issue, empowering the state to make informed decisions that prioritize students and taxpayer dollars. Hybrid electric vehicles. The House this week passed House Bill 1874 by State Rep. Greg Martin, which updates the definition of hybrid electric vehicle in Tennessee law as being propelled by a combination of an electric motor and an internal combustion engine or other power source. The new definition better aligns with the federal government's requirements and will provide clarity on what qualifies for the additional hybrid electric vehicle fee. 2026 Tennessee Educator Survey. This week, the Tennessee Department of Education and the Tennessee Education Research Alliance at Vanderbilt University invited teachers, administrators, and certified school staff to participate in the 2026 Tennessee Educator Survey. The survey will help shape strategies and goals for education across Tennessee. Responses, which are voluntary and confidential, will be received through April 10. Schools with participation rates above 90% will be eligible to enter a lottery for a $5,000 staff appreciation gift. Music City Loop. Gov. Bill Lee this week announced the approval of the Boring Company's lease and permit for the Music City Loop by the Tennessee Department of Transportation and the Federal Highway Administration. The privately funded transit tunnel is one of the largest infrastructure projects in the nation and will connect downtown Nashville to the Nashville International Airport, as well as Lower Broadway to West End. The total transit time from downtown to the airport is expected to be 8 minutes, according to Lee's office. Economic Development. Durable Products announced this week its plans to expand manufacturing operations in Cumberland County, according to the Tennessee Department of Economic and Community Development. The company will create more than 130 jobs and invest nearly $30 million. The company specializes in diverse manufacturing capabilities, including compression molding, rubber extrusions, die cutting, and material processing. A Home for Every Child. The Tennessee Department of Children's Services will join the Trump administration's A Home for Every Child initiative to expand the number of foster families and improve outcomes for children in the volunteer state. according to Gov Bill Lee. The initiative, led by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families, aims to improve the foster home to child ratio and utilize effective prevention services to reduce the number of children entering foster care. More information on the initiative can be found on the federal department's website here. Economic Development, DocuMotion Research announced Thursday it would expand its manufacturing operations in Maury County. The company, which produces and distributes linerless labels, will create 48 new jobs and invest $9.1 million by adding 40,000 square feet of space for manufacturing and maintenance operations in Columbia, according to the Tennessee Department of Economic and Community Development. Rounding cash transactions, the House approved legislation this week to allow businesses to round cash payments to the nearest nickel since the U.S. penny is no longer in production. House Bill 1744, sponsored by State Rep. Charlie Baum, R. Murfreesboro, allows private businesses and financial institutions to round cash transactions up or down to the nearest 5 cents when exact change is unavailable. The U.S. Mint struck its final pennies in November under an order from President Donald Trump after reporting an $85.3 million loss on penny production in fiscal year 2024. Businesses are still required to calculate and report sales tax to the penny. House Bill 1744 is still moving in the Senate. Safe at Home Law updates. The House approved several changes to Tennessee's Safe at Home Law this week, which allows victims of domestic violence and other crimes to use a substitute address to keep their home address hidden from their abusers. House Bill 1552, sponsored by State Rep. Dennis Powers, R. Jacksboro, allows an adult sibling living with a victim to be a co-applicant, clarifies that a Tennessee order of protection is not required for victims moving from another state, and adds the state's first-in-the-nation domestic violence offender registry, created by Savannah's Law, to the official offender registry system, barring those offenders from participating in the program. House Bill 1552 now heads to Gov Bill Lee's desk for his signature. National FFA Week, members of the Future Farmers of America from across the volunteer state visited the state capitol on Thursday in celebration of National FFA Week. Tennessee FFA is the seventh largest state association in the nation, with more than 34,000 members and 260 local chapters, according to the Tennessee FFA. The FFA welcomes students of all backgrounds and is not just for future farmers, but any student who has a passion for leadership and public speaking. Senate Speaker Randy McNally, Lieutenant Gov. Randy McNally, R. Oak Ridge, on February 26 announced he will not seek re-election to the Tennessee State Senate in 2026, concluding a legislative career spanning nearly five decades. During his tenure, McNally helped lead the Tennessee General Assembly through a period of historic financial stability and economic growth. McNally was first elected to the Tennessee House of Representatives in 1978. After four terms in the House, he was elected to the State Senate in 1986. By the end of his current term in November, McNally will have served 48 years in the legislature. When a new Speaker of the Senate is elected in January, McNally will have completed a decade in the position.